Ooh. At the Grace College, where I met my beloved, they had a tradition that after you got engaged, when you're sleeping at night, they will kidnap you. The guys in the dorm will kidnap you, take you down to Winona Lake, which is about a mile walk, and throw you in and leave. And so I was in a dead sleep when they did that to me, and it was, I think, right after the ice broke. And so they threw me in. I don't know if I got wet because I was out so fast and then had to run up the hill back to school. It was cold. So that's the thing they did. Okay, Luke chapter 2, and let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your words, and Lord, I do ask that you help us to see the storyline here. And a lot of people show their ignorance this time of year about the Christmas story. And obviously, technically, it's got nothing to do with the Lord. But people often think that this is part of it. And I do pray you'd help us to at least see the truth of the matter. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Luke chapter 2. Okay, we can see a wonderful word that everybody just loves so much in verse 1, taxed. Verse 2, taxing. Verse 3, taxed. Verse 5, taxed. And we all are so happy about that, are we not? Okay, that is another word for theft. Okay, and so the taxing idea, this is under Caesar Augustus, okay? So verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Okay, so this is obviously the known world under his authority, the Roman Empire. Okay, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Okay, we don't have a Caesar in our country. And so this is the idea of taxation. And every government, every bureaucrat, every politician, is a parasite. It's a parasite like a worm, fly, mosquito, a flea, a tick, bunch of ticks. That's what that stands for. And that's really what they are. They can't do anything without somebody who's productive, who produces for them, and then they take from them. That has been going on for years and years, and I don't think we're going to change anything of that. We just grin and bear it. Okay, how far do you grin and bear it? That is a choice each of us have to make. Okay, the word tax, if you would go back to Daniel chapter 11. In the book of Daniel, you'll have, in Daniel 2, there are four worldwide kingdoms mentioned, and then there's the Antichrist. That would be the fifth one. In Daniel chapter 7, you have three worldwide kingdoms, and then the fourth one will be the Antichrist. In Daniel 8, you have two worldwide kingdoms mentioned, Media, Persia, Greece, and then that last one would be the Antichrist. In Daniel 9, he mentions one kingdom, Daniel 9, the 70 weeks, which is the major prophecy of the Bible. If you want to look at a major prophecy where the word prophecy is associated with the word, or with the vision, is Daniel 9. That is probably the major prophecy in the Bible. And that mentions one worldwide kingdom and then the Antichrist. Daniel chapter 11 doctrinally is pointing at the Antichrist in particular. Okay, and one thing he is able to do, Daniel 11, verse 20. He says, then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. But within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. Okay, this is in reference to the Antichrist. And that their capability, that taxation, is what governments pass from one government to another, and they do that quicker than anybody. When Congress assembles and say that they're looking for a new revenue, source of revenues, that is no different than a petty thief in Gary going around late at night with a Saturday night special looking for a convenience store to rob. Only he's a piker compared to the professionals. And so it's just something we all endure. I am certainly glad I am not the perpetrator of the crime. I'm glad I'm rather the victim. And the reason why, the way you think about these things, this idea of this Caesar Augustus, he's a leech. The Queen of England, what is she? She's a leech. Okay, what's Obama? He's a leech. You know, that we just got to get our focus upon these people, what they really are. I mean, he's never done a productive thing in his life. And so we just understand that. You say, well, we're supposed to honor the Queen. No, we're not. Not us. But these people really can't do a whole lot without the people providing the way for them. How is that done? It's taken from them by force. You say, well, they have the right to do it. No, they don't. It goes against the laws of nature. Okay, do I have a right as an individual to demand of you money when there's no contract, I've done nothing for you, I've not agreed with you with anything, we don't have a signed contract, there's no quid pro quo, I've done, and can I demand that of you? Well, I can say all I want, but can I expect it to be fulfilled? The answer would be no. Okay, and so the same is true when a body of people get together. They don't have that right either. And so it's just a matter of a person has to decide what you do in life. Okay, now if I'm in downtown Gary and a guy's got a Saturday night special pointed at me and said, give me your money, I probably will do it. Okay, because the choice is either death or a less piece of the paper in my pocket. And so that's where it's under fear, duress, and coercion. So Luke chapter 2, so this Caesar guy, he's going to tax everybody. He's going to take something that doesn't belong to him, and he doesn't have a right to do it. But he has a gun backing him or a military backing him. Verse 2, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. That country's name is still there, Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph. So this is the earthly guardian of the Lord Jesus eventually, Joseph, also went up from Galilee. Galilee is in the north, out of the city of Nazareth, so that's up north. Into Judea, that's down south. Okay, so knowing that these Caesar Augustus is wanting to make it most convenient to get this currency or this money, would he do that during a time period of the world, of the season, where there's a possibility of bad weather and snow, like December 25th? He's not going to do it in the summertime because people are already mad because of the heat. So he's going to got to pick a cool time of the year in order to try to get this accomplished. The secret in getting something like this accomplished is trying to use as little as much violence as possible to get what you want out of something. That's the secret of government policy. Now, the Chinese government, if you conflict with them, they're not real secretive about their violence. They're ready to bring it right out, correct? Tiananmen Square? They don't hide it. Okay, in America, they'll try all sorts of avenues until they get to that point. Where it gets to that point, then the violence will come out. So that's just how it works. The Bible tells us these things. We understand these things. We recognize this is life. And we just thank the Lord that we're hopefully not an accomplice to this crime, but we are a victim of it. So Joseph is, because Israel at the time period, what is their governing structure for Israel at this time period? They are not a free, independent republic. They're not a commonwealth. They are subjects under Rome. Okay, and so this is like subjects in England. Nobody truly owns their property or their house. The queen owns everything, and then she divvies it out to a duke, to a lord, to a this, to a that, and each of them keep passing the buck down until the little peons are the ones that really foot the bills. I mean, the average hardworking American, that's the backbone of this country. That's the backbone. And the ones at the top cannot survive without us. They just can't do it. Okay, and so Joseph is following orders as a subject, in which he is, and he's going down to Judea into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Bethlehem today is Muslim territory. I've been there, and the buildings have a lot of evidences of shootouts, and it is a place where you just can sense and feel the tension. Anywhere you go, we went to the Holy Catholic Church where Jesus was born. You know, the Catholics buy all these sites up. It's amazing. And so then you go to this site, you got a Catholic church, you got a priest, you got all this stuff, and this is where Jesus was born, or this is where he died, or this is where he did this or did that. And the Catholics buy up all these things. Okay, and it's real, that would really surprise me. We were there. And so, but in Bethlehem, that's where our tour guide did the typical thing, take the bus to a tour shop because he gets a cut of everybody coming in. And so Brett and I didn't want to buy anything. And so we went back to the bus and he said, you guys need to get back in the building because we are in a very dangerous section. So then we realized, man, we're getting back in. Okay, that's Bethlehem. That's all Muslim territory. Isn't it very interesting how the devil infiltrates something or some place that is special to God? Remember what he did to Abraham when they were going to come into the land of Canaan? The Canaanites are fully entrenched in Canaan land. And then Israel had to come in and boot them out, kill them. Okay, that has not changed. Israel is totally and completely infiltrated with Muslims, with Satanists, with Catholics, with counterfeit Jews, because that's the focal point of world history. And if somebody really wants to consider the argument of the Bible, consider Jerusalem. Explain that. How can a person explain that world history focuses around Jerusalem? It's not a place where you can grow crops. You know, but why is that? It's because of the Bible itself. And then it says, because he was of the house and lineage of David, as was Mary. And then it says, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son. The word firstborn, what is the implications with that? Not hard to figure that out, right? But if you go to the cross-reference, Matthew 1:25, the New Bibles take the word firstborn out. I don't know what they do here. They take the word firstborn out, so then the Catholic Church seems that they can get away with it, that Mary was a perpetual virgin. Okay, and so forgetting the idea that Mark chapter 6, you have four brothers named and then two sisters mentioned, at least two, but yet those are all cousins, according to them. Okay, and so now here is what some folks will call the Christmas story. They usually have wise men showing up, and of course, if you just look at the typical manger scene, somebody is not reading a Bible. I mean, not at all. My cousin called me this morning. He said, David, and that's how he always starts, you know. And he says, man, I got to write a track on heresy. Man, everybody down here is just crazy. And he's talking about the Christmas scene. He said, they're just goofy. Why don't they just read the Bible? The wise men didn't show up at the manger. They showed up at a house. And Jesus was about 2 years old when they showed up. You know, and people just don't read the Bible. How could they miss something so simple, right? They don't care what the Bible says. People don't read the Bible. If you go to Christian institutions, most of the time they don't read the Bible. They read books about the Bible. It's a very unusual thing. It's about like eating a picture of a banana instead of eating the banana. Okay, so he said, now she's going to have a baby. Verse 7, firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Some will say that that's like grave clothes, but it's obviously very poor. They were very poor. Okay, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And they were in the same country. Now the camera goes from the manger to out in the fields. So now the camera is shifted over here, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Not December. Too cold. Grass don't grow very well. I mean, it just logic shows that this can't be at that time of year. Okay, so they're keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them. Okay, the angel of the Lord, when an angel shows up, he always shows up as a man. No wings. So he shows up as a man, and then he's going to inform these shepherds. Shepherds. Why would the Lord come to shepherds? Is that not something about the Lord? Country boys. Country folk. You know, shepherds. The first person martyred for his belief in God was a shepherd. Abel. And so what did the Lord do? A lot of those, Abel was shepherd, Abraham was a rancher plus a shepherd, and Isaac a shepherd, and then Jacob a shepherd, and then when Joseph went down to Egypt, when he came down, he said, don't tell him you're a shepherd. And then Moses, well, he wasn't a shepherd, but until the Lord had to work that Alexandrian education out of him, he got educated at Alexandria in Egypt for 40 years, and then the Lord shipped him over to Midian, over in Saudi Arabia, and made him watch sheep for 40 years. He said, I want you to watch these animals because you're going to be dealing with some people almost as bad. Now, you can whop these animals and get away with it. You can't smack them around. And so he had to work that out of their system. So he's just somebody outdoorsy, somebody out understanding nature. If you find a farmer that's an atheist, he's been educated. He's gone through Purdue. He's got a degree, some school. If he don't have that, he's going to believe in God. Atheism is an educated viewpoint. Somebody's trying to talk themselves out of a belief in God. And so sometimes they just seem to try to get real too smart for him. I can remember watching one farmer, and his son had graduated from PU, Purdue University. And so I'm listening to dad, listening to son. Son's been really highly educated, and they're setting up a sprayer. Okay, so a sprayer, you're spraying for weeds. You've got a little hose coming from the big tank, and you've got a sprayer that shoots out spray like a V. So you got these set out so far. Okay, and so he is trying to show how intelligent he is where the V comes out. He said, now where this water collides there, it's going to create a little bit more. And so we need to calculate how much chemicals. And the wise dad just says, if you got them hitting that good, you got them lined up perfectly. Meaning, you ain't going to get them lined up, son. Forget it. But he was wanting to show how educated he was. And the old farmer just said, get over it. You know, basically that's how it works. So, they believe in the Lord. The angel shows up and the glory of the Lord shone round about them and they were sore afraid. The glory of the Lord is usually a light. Okay, and they were sore afraid. That is a normal reaction. And the angel said unto them, fear not. And that is always a normal comment. It's a common joke in heaven. Go down there, scare the fire out of them guys, and then tell them, don't be afraid. From their perspective, our perspective. Our perspective, we don't see the spirit world. Their perspective, they see both. It's not a big deal. So they say, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. Not a Lord. Very detailed, very specific. Which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Why is he going to show them a sign? because they're Jews. These shepherds are Jews. And this is the way the Lord confirms his word or messages to Jewish people. There's going to be something miraculous or a sign. 1 Corinthians 1:22, for the Jews require a sign. Okay, and tongues are for a sign. That's what tongues are designed to do. And since the ministries in America are not Jewish, tongues in America is a counterfeit movement. It is a satanic movement to overthrow the teachings of God. Okay, and so you know that just from Bible doctrine. It's very clear, very easy to figure that out. If you go to the book of Acts, you'll find in Acts 2, 10, and 19, the three occurrences of the word of the tongues. And in every single case, there were unbelieving Jewish people that needed something confirmed to them. That's the purpose of tongues. Okay, and so they're going to have a sign. Okay, and here's the sign. You shall find the baby, or babe, the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. That's true. But what's the common thing? Man, what, you've been born in a barn? That's where our Lord and Savior is born. He was born in a barn. Okay, lying in a manger. And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying. Now that would have been interesting. That would have been quite a sign. A bunch of them. And it was all on key. Every single one of them. Wouldn't that have been wonderful to hear? Okay, now the next verse. The next verse often, not always, but often used in Christmas cards will usually drop the first phrase. Not always, but usually. Glory to God in the highest. Often what they'll put, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men, or men of goodwill. Now the reason why they do that is because man doesn't want to give glory to God. Okay, in verse 14. Glory to God first, peace second. That's the order. Okay, goodwill toward men. That comes second. Since man in general, since the United Nations and company, will not, they refuse to give glory to Jesus Christ, then they will not have world peace. They're not going to have it. It's all a facade. Okay, and so the program goes in that fashion. Glory to God first, peace second. Okay, Jesus in Hebrews 7 comes as a king of Salem, or the king of righteousness first, okay, and the king of peace second. And that's the order. Righteousness and peace. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. Okay, Psalm 119:165. Great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. Okay, it's love for the law of God first. As a result of that, we have an inner peace within our heart. And nothing's going to offend us. Meaning what people say. Why? Because we love the Lord. We love His Word. Everything just flows off like the water's off a duck's back. Okay? And so this is the pattern. And this is how the Bible follows. Jesus Christ said, the peace I give you is not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So Jesus has an inner peace, or a peace that we can have and experience. But yet He also says that the world itself gives a counterfeit peace. The peace I give you is not as the world giveth. Okay, an example of that. I knew a fellow in Rensselaer. He attended Rensselaer Church for a little while, for a year or so. He was working at Morocco Sand and Gravel. He was standing in the water, had a crane with a chain. He was hooking up something, and the crane somehow hit electrical wire, and he got electrocuted. He's standing in the water, electrocuted. He said he saw the tunnel. He saw the light of the tunnel. And he said, I had peace come over me. Okay, but he consciously said, no. everything faded away, and he survived, obviously survived the electrocution because he told me about it. Okay, he had frizzy hair that went out about 3 feet. He didn't. Nice fellow, just great guy. He was lost at that time. He did not get saved for a few years later. Same man was in a motorcycle accident, had a broken neck, laying in a ditch, so he twice, you know, faced death, okay, but he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is that? That's a counterfeit peace in his case. Okay, now, a saved person can experience that peace. They can experience possibly the angels coming and taking them up to home to heaven, yeah. Okay, but the pattern, and once we get that in our mind, we recognize this is how God works. Okay, and so truth precedes peace. Okay, Jesus Christ, King of righteousness, which precedes King of peace. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Okay, so love first, love for God first, and then the joy and the peace are byproducts of the love. And once we recognize that, we can see how God works. Okay, what I'm saying is that often the Lord might direct you to do something, or he might want you to believe something. You put it off. You don't do it, you put it off, and then maybe eventually you yield to it. Okay, whatever either the belief or the action is. When you yield to it and act upon either your faith or the action, then the joy and the peace comes in. But not until then. It's the after the fact. Why is that? Because that's God reinforcing it. Okay? And, you know, a lot of times people will say, well, I heard the gospel, I rejected it, I heard again, rejected it, many years go by, I rejected it, and then finally they got saved, and then they make this statement, oh, I should have done that a long time ago. Why? Because that's when the peace came in. And the peace doesn't come in until then. Okay, there was a survey taken on a college campus. What are the young people looking for? Their number one answer was love. Number two answer was joy or happiness. And number three answer was peace. And I can say from experience, you know, that the younger generation are looking for joy and happiness. That would be their priority. And the older generation, what are we looking for? We're looking for peace. We're sick and tired of that joy and happiness where that led us to a road down a ruin, and we want some peace because the ships are coming in and we're reaping. We really don't like it. Okay? Now, they're both wanting love. True, unconditional love. Okay? And true, unconditional love for the Lord, then will usher in our hearts a joy and a peace within us. So until the world gives glory to God in the highest, and that would be the Lord Jesus Christ, when they do that as a world body, that's when world peace will come in. And it won't happen until Jesus Christ obliterates all world kingdoms and takes them. We got a funny guy in Vatican City that travels around the world, gets off the plane, kisses the ground, and prays for world peace. What a prayer warrior. Okay, and he is disobeying Jesus Christ himself, where Jesus Christ said in John 17, I pray not for the world. And of course, John 17 is the only time the word Holy Father is found in the Bible, and that's what the Pope has taken a title of Jesus Christ. That's the arrogance. Okay, so verse 15. It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. Okay, so the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Man, would that not be a good enough sign? Man, oh man. If they would have known about a wonderful life, they probably could have asked one of those angels, which one's Clarence, you know, and try to figure that one out. Okay, then verse 16, they came with haste, would they not? And found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, the baby, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They went and told everybody. And weren't you? Wasn't I? Of course. Verse 18, all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Considered it, stored it up for her memory, meditated on it. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Why didn't the Lord take the local Bible scholars, show them this great thing? You know, somebody emailed me this week and was asking me about Ron Wyatt. They said, could you tell me about Ron Wyatt? You know, why would it seems kind of strange that this one guy could find all these things. Why? Well, doesn't it say in 1 Corinthians that the Lord uses the base men of the world to confound the wise? That's why he chose that guy. And so, you know, a lot of times people just don't think that's how the Lord works. And the reason why the Lord works that way is because he gets the glory. You know, if the Lord were to use somebody, you know, highly educated, went to, you know, all these big fancy religious schools and got his archaeology and he found it, everybody would say, well, see, yeah, he should have found all that. But the Lord just used some guy and paid his own way and took 120 flights back and forth, who wasn't real good on his doctrine. I mean, he really wasn't, but he did love the Lord, and he allowed the evidence to speak for itself, and that's what I told the fella. Okay, verse 21, it says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. Okay, that's a name that flows easily from the voice of little ones, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of a purification, okay, now verse 22 to 24 gives us some insight into the financial status of Mary and Joseph, or Joseph and Mary, either way you want to go on that. When the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished. So you go back to Leviticus 12, you can read about the Levitical regulations. They brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Okay, skip verse 23 for now because the sentence goes to 24. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Okay, that sacrifice, those two items, two turtle doves or young pigeons, was the poor folks' sacrifice. Middle class, lamb. Upper class, an ox or a calf. Okay, that's the order, the way he laid it out. And the reason why is the Lord looks at our position life by percentages. And this is why the widow, when she gave her mite, she gave everything. And that's how the Lord looks at it. So this is, I don't care how poor a person is, if you can't buy a turtle dove, you can at least go to the city park and catch a couple. You just throw, you know, you can do it different ways. You can cheat like my dad used to cheat, shooting sparrows. The way he would do, I'll tell you a secret. In the wintertime, okay, when they're looking for corn, he would put corn in a straight line right from outside the barn where he could shoot right down that line. Lots of birds from one shotgun. I don't know, what was your record, Dad? 7? 8? 8? So, that's a nifty trick. What we like to do in the harvest time is, in a cold time, the sparrows would go into the pine trees. Or if you could find a little crevice underneath the tin roof, they go in there, you take a flashlight at nighttime, shine it right on them, you take the BB gun and put it right on their nose. You can't miss. They're not going to fly. And then they drop out and the dog has a nice meal. The shepherd or the collie. I think his record one day was 20-some. He likes the baby ones out of the nest in the springtime. That's the ones he likes the favorite, less feathers. And so that's what we do on the farm for a pastime. So if you need to get a pigeon, now our neighbor farmers would eat them pigeons. I'm not one for eating a pigeon. Did you eat a pigeon? A lot of cleaning for such a little bit. Oh, one bird. Cooked? Okay. Okay, then in verse 23, in the paragraph mark, it says, as is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Okay, and then you go back to Leviticus. Well, I'm sorry, Exodus on that one, and you can see the Old Testament law. And you see these Jewish people, Joseph and Mary, followed to the best of their knowledge and best of their ability to follow everything because Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law. And so that's why they're following these things as good Jewish people. Okay, then 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now this is how technical the Bible is. The Lord's Christ. What does that imply? There's a fake Christ. That's the implications there. The Lord's Christ, other places will say his Christ. Okay, and so that's very unique, very important there. Well, let's see, I got so much more here. 25, we'll pick up Simeon next week. We'll go ahead and stop there at 24. Any questions or comments are we covered?